I was six, do you know what I wanted to be? I wanted to be seven. Because seven-year-olds got all the cool stuff. They made their first Holy Communion. If they're Irish, that's, you know, from a Catholic background, you make first Holy Communion, you get money. It's one. I mean, you also make Holy Communion, but you get money. When you're six, I wanted to be seven. When I was seven, I wanted to be eight. That's what I wanted to be. Because I thought, this time next year, I'm going to be eight. And when I was nine, I really couldn't wait, because I thought, this time next year, I'm going to be 10. 10 was going to be two numbers in my age, and probably will be two numbers in my age until the last numbers in my age, but who knows, God is good all the time, amen? Yeah. When I was 15, I couldn't wait to be 16, because when I was 16, I'd go to the 16-year-old discos going on downtown, we'd meet the girls, we could dance around, we could do our thing, do our moves, make a move on the girls, stall someone, you know, the whole, you had to be there for that one. When I was 17, I couldn't wait to be 18, because there's things you can do in Ireland when you're 18 legally that you can't do when you're 17 or when you're 16. Not that I hadn't been doing them for the previous 3 years anyway, but I couldn't wait to be 18. What is it about our lives? So often we wish our time away. We wait to say, I can't wait until the holidays. I can't wait until I retire. I can't wait until this comes to an end. I can't wait until this job opportunity opens up. I can't wait till these exams are over. And so often we are looking forward. But are we looking forward to the promises of God? That's the challenge, actually, that I want to bring this morning. Are you looking forward to the promises of God? You see, none of us knows where we're going to be this time next year. None of us knows. We really don't know. God is good all the time. Who knows what's going to move in our lives? What situations are going to change? What circumstances are going to change? Maybe the Lord himself is going to come back, like we sang. Who knows where we'll be this time next year? But this I do know. Wherever we are next year, God's promises are still good. They're still good, and they're good all the time, because as Darren reminded us this morning, God is good all the time. All the time. I want to look at Genesis chapter 18, and I want to look at the story of Abraham and Sarah. Now, for the third time I'm speaking about a baby, okay? So just put up with that. Just put that, register it, go, okay, this is a repeating theme. Here what I found is that when something gets on repeat, the Lord is trying to get your attention. Maybe not necessarily to have a baby, but we'll get to that in a few minutes' time. We're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 18, and what I want to bring to your attention is that by the time you get to Genesis chapter 18, the Lord has appeared to Abraham, and he's appeared to him in Genesis 12, in Genesis 13, in Genesis 14, in Genesis 15, not in Genesis 16 for very good reason, then again in Genesis 17, and now in Genesis 18, we're going to be looking at what God spoke. Will you stand with me for one more time, before we close our meeting? We'll be getting you stand at the end as well, don't worry. Will you pray with me? Would you put a hand on the heart and a hand on your ear? Lord, I pray that any blocked ears in this place, physically, spiritually, emotionally, would be unblocked now in the name of Jesus. Well, Lord, I pray your word, Ephphatah, would be spoken over ears, Lord, that are spiritually dull and closed. May our hearts be open to hear your word. May we be the fertile soil for your seed to land upon today, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, God's people say,
amen.
Amen. We can take our seats. Let's pick up the story. The Lord appeared again to Abraham near the oak grove belonging to Mamre, that is in modern-day Hebron in the West Bank. One day, Abraham was sitting at the entrance to his tent during the hottest part of the day, and he looked up and he noticed three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he ran to meet them, welcomed them, and bowed low to the ground. Now, Abraham was a nobleman, and Abraham was a rich man. And rich men ran nowhere. They didn't run. Rich men walked everywhere. Noble people with dignity walked. They never ran. Unless they were in the presence of somebody much greater than they. Then they ran. And so Moses, or forgive me, so Abraham sees these men coming, and he notices there's something different about them. He notices that they are something special. Like I said, Abraham, it says here, the Lord appeared again to Abraham. He had already appeared, Genesis 12, Genesis 13, Genesis 14, Genesis 15, Genesis 17, here again now in 18. And so Abraham notices something unusual about them, and he sees three men appear. Goes on to say this, "My Lord," he said when he met them, "if it pleases you, stop here for a while, rest in the shade of a tree while water is brought to wash your feet." He wasn't accusing them of having smelly feet, by the way. It was traditional to wash somebody's feet because they'd walked in the dust. And since you've honored your servants with this visit, let me prepare some food to refresh you before you continue on your journey. And it says this, all right, they said, do as you have said. Now, who are these three men that arrive up to Abraham's tent in the middle of a sunny afternoon? You might remember sunny afternoons. They happened back in July. But in the middle of a sunny afternoon, he's sitting there at his tent in the cool, trying to stay cool in the shade of the tree. And up come these men. Who are they that gives him, causes him to react this way? Well, in the Old Testament, it's what's called a theophany, an appearance of Yahweh in human form. But there's three, so it's not three Yahwehs, it is Yahweh and two angels. Because if you continue to read on in Genesis 18 and Genesis 19, you read about these angels going into a city to rescue Abraham's nephew, Lot, and his family. But that's beside the point. The whole point was this, Abraham knew when the visitation of God had come to him, and he knew that this was significant. And so he responded quickly. Do you know what's important for us? Have ears to hear. It's important for us to recognize the visitation of God.
Yeah.
It's important for us to recognize when the presence of God is around us. It's important to recognize when the voice of God is speaking to us. Be attentive. Pay attention. Be sober-minded and alert, as Peter wrote. So Abraham ran back to the tent. He said to Sarah, hurry, get three measures of your best flour, knead it into a dough and bake some bread. Come on, come on, woman, come on, come on, come on. I just added that bit in. And then Abraham ran up to the herd and he chose a tender calf and he gave it to his servant who quickly prepared it. Now if you're thinking, who does Abraham think he is like? And he rushes out to his wife and says, hurry, make some bread. Like, that's like so misogynistic, that is so like sexist for him to do that. It's 4,000 years ago, get over yourself. Is how they did things back then. There's nothing wrong with it, let's give thanks. Abraham went out to the herd, and it's an unfortunate day for some poor tender calf. He gave it to his servant who prepared it quickly. He slaughtered it, he would have cut its throat and butchered it, skinned it and butchered it, and put it on to cook. You see, they didn't get their meat in Tesco back in those days. He goes on to say this. When the food was ready, Abraham took some yogurt and milk and roasted the meat, and he served it to the men. As they ate, Abraham waited on them in the shade of the trees. So Abraham, first of all, he sees, if you will, Abraham is watching. He's watching for the visitation of God. And then he waits in the visitation of God. It is so important, it's so important that we serve to be in the presence of God. Serving is the key. Serving is the key. If you're not serving someone else and you're only serving yourself, you're never going to grow spiritually and you're never going to walk into all that God wants for you. So first of all, he waits, then he serves, and then he hears what God wants to say to him. And what does God want to say to him? Where is Sarah, your wife? The visitor asked. Where's Sarah? 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 Where's Sarah? Sarah? Where is Sarah, your wife? And Abraham said, she's inside the tent, Abraham replied. Now for the context, back in those days, men and women ate separately, particularly if there was a visitor. And normally, the women would serve the men. Amen. And Gardy said Michael O'Donohan was killed in the courtyard that afternoon by a notorious Cork gang called the Soul Sisters. She's inside in her tent. She's not out here eating with all the lads, eating with Abraham, her husband, and the visitors. Abraham is waiting on them. She's inside in the tent. And then, Sarah's inside in the tent, right? So Sarah's listening to this conversation. She's got her ear to the edge of the tent. I know none of you have ever eavesdropped in a conversation. I know that would never perish the thought that it could ever happen, that you walk past your teenager's bedroom when you hear a conversation, you go, whoa, what was that again? That's never happened to any of you. So she's listening inside the tent. She's sitting there listening to this conversation. She's cool. She's in the tent. Oh, we're all good. One of them then said, I will return to you at this time next year, and your wife Sarah will have a son. I will return to you this time next year, and your wife Sarah will have a son. Now, this is a little bit out there. And let me explain why. Sarah was listening to the conversation from the tent. Now, Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time. And Sarah was long past the age of having children. So both of them were, in the cart term, bait. They were just beaten birds, the two of them. Exhausted. Abraham, how are you, boy? How's the going? Exhausted. I haven't a child at the end of the year. Aye, aye, Abraham, next one. Sarah was also too old to have a child. It was kind of a little bit crazy. It was a bit out there. But he said, this time next year, your wife is going to have a baby. Now, I got to tell you, if somebody had said to me in February 1999 that by this time next year, your wife is going to have a son, I wouldn't have believed them either. But God is good all the time.
Amen.
God is good all the time. And so Sarah was listening to conversation in the tent. Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time, and Sarah was long past the age of having children. And this is what happens. And so she laughed silently to herself. That's not very silent, no, but it'll do. She laughed silently to herself and said, how could a worn out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is also so old? Abraham was nearly 100. Wasn't thinking about making children, he was, I can tell you that. If it was me, I'd be praying for a happy death. That's what I'd be praying for, not for children. How can an old woman like me, she laughs to herself, and she laughs silently, you know, in the middle of the night last night, I just had some funny thoughts about the rain and people buying bread and toilet paper, and I just started laughing to myself in the bed, and I couldn't control it. And you know the worst thing about it? Well, you're not supposed to laugh, and you can't control your laughter. Have you ever noticed that? Even dumb things seem really funny when you're not supposed to laugh at them. That's why you should never invite anybody from the O'Donovan family to a funeral or removal, because they'll just start laughing, and it will all fall apart really quickly. But I was laying in bed, and I was laughing. I was just thinking about the idea that people were rushing out and buying bread and it's raining. What's the matter with people? And buying toilet paper? What's going on with people? And I was laughing, I was really laughing hard. It was funny at the time, trust me. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning. And next thing I said, Mike, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm okay. He said, what, were you crying? So I'm not crying and laughing. I'm just trying to keep it to myself. And I woke my poor darling wife with my laughing inside the bed. Well, she knew what she was getting into. Fair as that. How could a poor woman like me enjoy such pleasure? You know the word that was used there for pleasure? It's the word Eden. It's the Hebrew word Eden, from which we get the Garden of Eden. How could I enjoy the pleasure and the richness of that experience? How could I be like Adam and Eve again? And there's a shadow, actually, of the story of Adam and Eve happening in this very story. Because in chapter 16, which I referenced a while ago, Sarah comes up with a great idea. She's heard that God has made Abraham a promise. She looks at herself, she looks at her circumstances, she looks at what she's like, and she says, here, I've got an idea. I will give Abraham my servant. Her name is Hagar, and Abraham can marry her, and then she can have a child, and that would be God's promise fulfilled. Job done and dusted, all sorted. Just like happened in Genesis, interestingly, when the serpent came to Eve and he said to Eve, Eve, you know, has God really said you shouldn't eat of any of the fruit in the garden? And Eve said, well, the Lord said, you know, we can eat of any fruit, but not that tree. And the serpent said, no. God is holding out in you. God knows that if you eat that, you're going to be just like him. You have the knowledge of good and evil. Hey, Eve, baby, I want to set you free. And so she has some of the fruit. We don't know what that fruit was like. And along comes Adam. Who's it going? And Adam obviously wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. And he comes along and he sees Eve and he says, would you like some of the fruit? And goes, oh yeah, Graham, let's do that. So. And he eats the apple. And of course, the rest, as they say, is history. In the same way, Sarah's desire to fulfill the promise of God actually got in the way of the promise of God. Because she looked at herself. She looked at her husband, she looked at her circumstances, she looked at her situation, she looked at her age, she looked at her body, she looked at her abilities, but she didn't look to the Lord. She didn't look to the Lord. The one person who could actually change her situation, she didn't look to him. So she looked at her reality, but she didn't have faith. she didn't have faith. It says this, that the lads heard her laughing. Let me tell you this. You know, you may laugh silently in derision or doubt, but the Lord hears it. The Lord hears it. And that's a good thing. Because you may pray silently in your circumstances, but the Lord hears it. You may weep silently, but the Lord hears it. He knows where you're at and who you are and what you're like today. So you can be yourself in his presence. Amen. And so the lads are outside tucking into the calf and the bread and the yogurt and the milk. And then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? I mean, why did Sarah laugh? Like, because it's a ludicrous suggestion. It's a ludicrous idea that this woman, who's nearly 100 years of age, is all of a sudden going to produce eggs and it's going to be met with seed from her husband and she's going to have a baby. Have you not seen the condition of Sarah? She can't even stand upright, never mind say have a baby. For goodness sake, why did she laugh? Because she just looked at the situation and said, this is nuts. Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? Because normally people who are old women don't generally have babies. You know, they get to a certain age and it just all stops for them and it all stops for their husband. And they wake up one morning and they go, well, we're beaten it in. That's the end of that plan. But is anything too difficult for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? When you look at the walls that you're up against, when you look at yourself, when you look at your body or your age or your talent or your background or the colour of your skin or your gender, whatever you look at, is anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
Can he not open doors that no man can shut? Can he not change the route of your life to bring it exactly to his destination in the way that he wants to move? Is anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
You look at your life right now. Bring one problem before your mind. Take 5 seconds to bring one issue before the Lord. I've got it here in my head. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I challenge you to say, nothing is too hard for the Lord.
Amen.
Nothing is too hard for him. No outstanding promise, no outstanding situation is too hard for the Lord.
Amen.
I will return, he said, this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. And when God says it, it happens.
Amen.
When God says, I am your shepherd, it happens. When God says, I am your provider, it happens. When God says, I am your keeper, it happens. When God says, I will open the door for you, it happens. When God says, I will provide for you, it happens.
Amen.
Around this time next year, I'll come back and have a son. And I love this part. Sarah was afraid, and so she denied it, saying, I didn't laugh. I wasn't laughing at all. But the Lord said, no. No, you did laugh. You did laugh. But you know what? A curious thing is that when Zechariah said, how am I supposed to know now that this is going to happen? The Lord said, you'll be silent for the next 9 months until the baby's born. But it isn't said to Sarah. She's not silenced. She's not judged. The grace of God is there for her. He said, no, you did laugh. Own it up. Be honest before God. He knows it anyway.
Yeah.
You did laugh. You laughed in your doubt and you laughed in your derision and you laughed in your skepticism and you laughed when you looked at what you thought was reality. Yes, you did laugh. You laughed because you looked at yourself. You didn't have faith in God. And you see, that's what happens to us, I think, and very often in situations. I know certainly for me, when I have run into trouble in my faith, I've been looking at me or looking at someone else in my life or looking at a circumstance in my life that maybe has haunted me all my life. But I don't necessarily look to God. I love what Tim Keller, he's a Christian writer, he passed away last year. It was 23 or 24, Keller, 23 or 24. Brilliant Christian writer. And he wrote this about faith. He wrote it in his book, The Reason for God. And it's a great book for persuading. It literally is a book about persuading people about the existence of God and the presence and the reality of Jesus. And he says this. He says, it's not the strength of your faith, but the object of your faith that actually saves you. Strong faith in a weak branch is fatally inferior to weak faith in a strong branch. That's what was going on. Because what the Lord was saying to Abraham in Sarah's ears was too good to be true. This was the longing of her life. She always wanted to be a mother. She always wanted to provide a son for Abraham. We know, and now when it finally comes to her, it was too good to be true. And you know what they say, if something is too good to be true, it normally is. In this case, it wasn't. It was true. It was what God intended to do. But her faith was not in the Lord. It was in herself and in biology and sociology and whatever you like. And when you think of her, she left. Can you imagine Sarah the following day goes down into the village, in the town, and she's walking. And I'm assuming she's going to walk. It's like maybe she jogged to town. But she walks into the town and says, "Hey, what can you have? Can I have a half a dozen of those pomegranates there and then a dozen of those oranges? And how are you getting on, Sarah?" "Oh, Sarah, I'm grand. You know, a few aches and pains. Any news?" "Yeah, I'm going to have a baby next year." "What?" Sarah, are you okay?" "Yeah, me and Abraham, bye, we're going to get it on. It's going to be good. It's going to be great cracking the tent above an art place. Can't wait. Hallelujah. Can't wait." Everybody laughed at this notion. I guarantee you. But her faith was not in the strong branch that is the Lord, the righteous branch of David. Hallelujah. Her faith was in the wrong branch herself. Hallelujah. I always think about this. I actually literally think about this quote every time I fly in a plane. But I won't tell you why. That'd be a story for another day. You see, Paul says this. He says this when he's writing to Timothy. He says this. He says, if we are faithless, not meaning unfaithful, he means faithless, lacking in faith, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. He's not going to disown his own nature and his own promises. He's not going to disown them. So even when we struggle with faith and we don't have strong faith or we don't have the great faith we would really love to have, it's okay. God will still remain faithful to his promise. We just need to keep following and keep trusting in him as best as we can. Can I get an amen? Amen. Keep obeying, keep following, keep waiting, keep serving, keep listening. God will do it, just like he did it for Abraham. Can I get an amen? No, I'm not following that along. Yeah, good. Because you see, for Abraham, faith was, it was a question of going against time. Abraham was nearly 100 years of age. He's 99 in the story. He'd be 100 by the time his son was born. It says this in Romans chapter 4. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so he became the father of many nations. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was nearly like 100, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. He didn't stick his head in the sand. Many people think that faith is denial. No, I'm healed. No, you're not. Face the facts. Facing the facts and having faith are so important. Having faith is not a denial of reality. Can I get an amen? Amen. Because so many people wanted to deny reality by having faith. That's not what Abraham did. He faced the fact that he was nearly dead, and I'm sure he thought to himself, "Lord, it's better happen any minute now, because like I'm really running out of time here. I'm under serious pressure to see you fulfill your promise." He faced it. He didn't stick his head in the sand. We have to face reality. And in that reality, that's when God breaks through. Amen. When we face it. He goes on to say this. He says, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but he was strengthened in his faith. What? I mean, the longer he waited, the stronger he got. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Maybe it makes a lot of sense to you. But he was a man of faith. He was the founder of Judaism, the founder of Christianity. Of course he was a man of faith. But he didn't waver, but he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Amen. Are you fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he promised you? Amen. If you're fully persuaded, will you raise your hand? If you're fully persuaded that God, hallelujah. If you're fully persuaded, Lord, I pray that these hands and this persuasion will not be without fruit, but that this faith will bear fruit in Jesus' mighty name. And God's people say, amen. You see, because if you continue the story, here's poor old Sarah, but boy, is she laughing now. Boy, is she laughing now. You see, she laughed in doubt. She laughed in derision. She laughed in disbelief. But this is what it says. The Lord kept his word to Sarah and did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. Mm. She became pregnant and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time God said it would. God is never too early. And he's never too late. He's got impeccable timing. Amen. It's his own time that he moves in. Mm. And they named their son Isaac. Mm. Does anybody know what Isaac means? Who's that? Leslie, you get a full jar of bullseyes. Congratulations. Well done, Leslie. You win today's prize. It means laugh, or he laughs. Yitzhak, he laughs. That's what the name means. So in 1 minute, she's laughing in the tent at the ludicrous notion that this has happened. And then when the son is born, Abraham says, I know a good name. We'll call him Laughs. He laughs. And it goes on to say this. It says, Sarah declared, God has brought me laughter. All who hear about this will laugh with me. Who would have said that Abraham would give Sarah, that Sarah would nurse a baby? Yet I have given Abraham a son in his old age. She laughs. And then she says, everyone will laugh with me. They're going to laugh. They laughed at me, but now they're laughing with me. Hallelujah. Will you be laughing at the end of 2025? Will you be laughing if God fulfills his promise to you? Will you be laughing? Will you be smiling? Will you be singing, the joy of the Lord is my strength, at the end of 2025? I prophesy to you that you will be laughing at the end of 2025. I prophesy to you that this year is going to be a year of new birth in every sense of the word. There will be literal new life this year. Can I get an amen? There will be spiritual new life in this building, in your home, in your workplace. There will be new life this year in 2025. There will be new opportunities. New doors will open. New situations will develop in your life, and it will be the blessing and the purpose and the plan and the provision of God for you in 2025. Can I get an amen? New life. New promises fulfilled in 2025. I prophesy to you that when we keep on reading these stories about children being born, it's about a new birth. It's the birthing of a new enterprise, the birthing of a new relationship, the birthing of a new opportunity, the birthing of a new child. Community, say amen. Amen. I want Grace Christian Church to be the most fertile church in Ireland. Amen. Why not? Amen. Why not? Why not? But I want to prophesy as well to someone here. And I say this to you. This year, someone is going to come to you. It'll be a stranger. But they are going to confirm to you what God has already said to you. Mm. He is going to confirm a promise to you that God has already made to you. And you will know it, and you need to discern it. You need to have ears to hear when this stranger comes and says to you, this is what God is going to do in your life. You need to have ears to hear that, because you know the book of Hebrews chapter 13 says that some of us have entertained or been at shared a table with angels and not even know it. So I pray. I pray, just close your eyes for a moment. I pray that angels will visit your home this year. I pray that ministering servants will walk into your house this year. I pray that they will sit at your table and eat. And I pray that they will bring the word of God into your situation. That they will confirm, that they will affirm, that they will reaffirm what God has spoken in his promises to you in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe the band will come up. We've got one last verse. And then we're going to stand and we're going to pray. And we're going to sing. We're going to sing about Jesus. Isn't that a good thing to sing about? A lot of people are singing about lots of stuff. They're singing about their football teams. They're singing about, they're singing about all sorts. But, you know, we're going to be singing about Jesus. You know, sometimes we have to have faith for the future. Because for many of us here, we look at the future and we look at it fearfully. There's not going to be enough. I'm not going to be strong enough. What if I get sick? What if this happens? What if I lose my job? What if I can't make the payments? What if the Lord doesn't move in my life? What if I never get baptized in the Holy Spirit? You will. Yes. It's a promise of God. Can I get an amen? What if these things never, what if I never get the breakthrough? What if I never have a child? What if I never meet a wife? What will happen? What if? We can't look at the future with fear. How many times do the angels appear? The first thing they say is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Proverbs chapter 31 is a passage that spoke to me a number of times during my life. Obviously, in relation to my wife, it's about the godly wife. But it's not about gender. It's not about color. It's not about age. It's not about stage. It's not about race. This is a promise of God. This is what it says about the wife in Proverbs chapter 31. It says, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She can laugh at the days to come. She's not frightened. Oh no, what'll happen if? No. She's clothed with strength and dignity. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to be clothed with strength and dignity. Can I get an amen? God wants to clothe his people with strength. Let me give it to you in a slightly different version. This is from the New Living Translation. She laughs without fear of the future. She laughs without fear of the future. So are you waiting on a promise today? Are you waiting for a way to open? Are you waiting for a miracle to happen? Are you waiting for something to be birthed in your life? House of Hope, we bring it before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to laugh at the future. I want to laugh at the future, whatever the future brings. I want to laugh. Will you stand with me? Because we're going to sing. We're going to worship God. Hallelujah. Why are we going to do it? Why are we going to do it? Because Jesus. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You are waymaker,
waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Are you waiting on the promise of God? We all are. I am too. How about we raise it up before the Lord? Because I want to declare something. I want to declare 2025 a year of jubilee. The Lord wants to speak about it as a year when debts are cancelled, when people are set free, when there is abundant provision, when doors are open. It's a jubilee year. It's opening the doors before you. Let's bring our lives and our situations before the Lord. Lord, though we may laugh at your promises, though others may laugh at your promises to us, Lord, we pray, Lord, that we would laugh at the future in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we pray that we would have the last laugh over our own doubts, over our own disbelief. Lord, I pray we would have the last laugh when we see the fulfillment of your promises in 2025. Lord, I pray that in this room right now, Lord, those who are longing, Lord, to see a womb open for a child to be born, Lord, I pray your Spirit would drop it into their hearts now, Lord. If it is your word, let it speak to them, Lord. Let it give them courage to face the future, Lord. For those, Lord, who are waiting on a relationship or an opportunity, those who are waiting for a door to open, for provision from heaven, Lord, I pray that they would laugh at the days to come. Can I get an amen? Lord, I pray that we will, as a people, be people who laugh at the future without fear. Lord, we cast down and dispel fear in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The fear of complicated health, the fear of financial worries, the fear of relationship troubles, Lord, we bind and cast down that fear as we go into 2025 full on this first Sunday, Lord. We pray that by this time next year, your people will laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh because they have seen the fulfillment of God's promises in their lives. And we pray this in the one and only mighty name of Jesus. And God's people say, just bear with us for a second. Even when I don't see it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop.
Never stop working. Waymaker, miracle.
Sarah couldn't see it. She couldn't see it. She couldn't see when she looked at herself and her circumstance and her situation. She couldn't see how God was going to do this. But even when we don't see it, He goes to work. Hallelujah. Even when we can't receive it, He's still on the move. Even when we're dumbfounded, He speaks and moves in our lives. In our closing prayer, will you raise your hands to heaven one last time? Lord, our prayer is just like that song. Even if today, Lord, we don't see that breakthrough with our natural eyes, as we sang earlier, open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Open the eyes of faith, Lord. Lord, that our eyes are not on ourselves, on our situation, or on our circumstances, but our eyes are on God, for whom all things are possible. Do the impossible in our lives, in our homes, in our situations, in our circumstances in 2025, and God's people said, "Amen." Amen. Amen.